We're doing Mechazanish's work in Munah B'tachon. It's a new semester, so we're going to go back a drop to page Lamed Ches. Lamed Ches, if anyone needs another copy, we have one more copy up here. Page Lamed Ches. Mechazanish developed the following: the concept of Emunah, the concept of B'tachon, the recognition that Hashem runs the world. That's Emunah. The concept of B'tachon is that even when things seem dire, things seem perilous, one maintains that recognition that Hashem runs the show. The Chazanish stressed the fact that this is not a promise that things will work out the way we'd like them to. It's a promise that the way they're working out is the way God intends them to, and that at any moment He can make them work out differently. That doesn't mean He's giving us a guarantee what the outcome is going to be. People mistakenly think that bitachon means I have confidence that He'll do what I want. That's not bitachon. Emunah and bitachon, the Chazanish had explained, there are two concepts which are very similar. Emunah is that recognition. Bitachon is holding on to that recognition, even when the facts that we have to contend with are difficult. Then the Chazanish went on to discuss the application of emunah and bitachon in practical life, that adherence to a Torah observant lifestyle, with observance being defined as adhering to halacha. He said, we need to develop our Yirat Shamayim, our appreciation that Hashem runs the world, but the application of all that is the implementation of the laws of the Torah in our daily lives. And that can only be done when we actually study the Gemara, the Halacha, the Talmud. So the Chazanish developed from the concept of Emunah U'Bitachon to the concept of understanding that the application of Emunah and Bitachon is a way of life. And the way to do that is not only to learn books about Jewish thought and philosophy, but you must also learn the applied science of how to live a Torah lifestyle. And then the Chazanish went on to discuss that sometimes people are very good at saying they have Emunah, they have Bitachon, everyone should have Emunah and Bitachon, so long as life is going the way they'd like. And then when life starts going not the way they like, and they have problems, and they have competition, and they have to fight to make their ends meet. So then suddenly everything seems okay, and it's perfectly okay to use any means to destroy your competition. And the Chazanish said, that's not true. Part of Emunah and Bitachon is that I will work with this system even when I have challenges in life. And so applying the halacha and knowing what I may and may not do with my competition is part of Emunah and Bitachon. Now the Chazanish went on to the importance of learning Torah and the fact that some people don't have that opportunity. And we're up to part Chaf Zayin, the 27th section of the third chapter. You have people who are in a slumber. They never really learned the laws of the Torah. And it has to happen that at certain junctures of life, there's an awakening. And there's a spirit that comes into a person and arouses him. And there's this thought hovering in the airspace of his life. Maybe it's not too late. Maybe I could still learn Torah. Maybe I can still acquire the wisdom. There are many pillars of the world, many giants of Jewish history, who only started learning Torah at a much later age. And I too, if I work hard and diligently, I will merit to know Torah and understand it. So a person has this thought, but then there's this trait called having shame, and it weighs him down. And suddenly he holds himself back from taking that precious step. And right away, he starts thinking about something else that's more pleasant to think about at that moment. And so he stays stagnant in the same place he was until now. And about such a person, the Mishnah says, if you're scared of being embarrassed, you're never going to learn. A person who's scared of being embarrassed will not learn. And here's the example. So let's talk about that trait of shame. It is one of the most precious traits. You're supposed to have shame. It's a good thing. And we know that the Musar movement, in training people to be ethical people, well, that's one of the traits we try to acquire. And we speak a lot about those who have no shame. We stay away from them. Because the antithesis of shame is brazenness. And that's something wicked, to be brazen. A person is willing to do anything. And that's something which our sages taught us is vile. Hamidai kara zot nefchale sorsurada avera. So even though shame is a good trait here, look how shame can become the emissary of transgression. For here it is misapplied. A person takes that positive trait of shame and misapplies it, and such does not grow.
Mishne kishalon v'rabat pukai. We're on top page lametet midat tova shelo al mekoma.
And even though we know that a bad trait, midara, a bad trait is like an illness, but you should know that a good trait that's misapplied is doubly bad. Kial midara, because when we speak about a bad trait, harbu ba'ale musar b'sifrutam, you have many sources our sages wrote about.
Where our sages tell us that's not a good trait. You got to uproot that trait. You got to change that trait.
And so our sages researched how to cure it. And so they offered us cures in their teachings. But how bad is it? It's lethal when you have a good trait, but it's misapplied. Asher min kudat ha'anava u'mimerkaz ha'tzniut, rafu yadav miliknot chokhmah. Because when it stems from a person's humility and a person's modesty, so suddenly he doesn't, that humility and modesty, which are good traits, are standing in his way of acquiring wisdom.
U'marav oshro lo hayam mizuyan b'midat ha'azut v'chutzpah b'hizdamnut zo.
And if at this moment he would have a little bit of chutzpah, and he'd say, I'm going to go, I don't care if people laugh at me. I don't care if people are going to see how little I know. I'm going to go learn. If he'd only have that chutzpah at that moment, he'd go learn. And so here his good traits are standing in his way. At that moment when he feels real bad, oh no, I've stumbled. I don't know Torah. I'm missing the waters of life. A person thinks to himself, my best years are past. My childhood years, the years where I could have developed that. And pretty soon everything's going to be all lost forever. A person has these thoughts, he can capitalize on that. But no, suddenly his humility gets in the way.
And
when people, he's scared, people will look at him. They're going to say, look at so-and-so. Look at how little he knows. So that imagined shame, and he wasn't strong enough to stand up to that. And this goes on all of life.
Do you think that's humility or just the ego of false pride?
He says it stems from humility. It stems from a shame. It stems from a good place. We should have shame. We should be embarrassed when people say not nice things about us. But if that's misapplied, here you need chutzpah. I know a guy who went to work at Rami Levi just because he wanted to learn Hebrew. Look at that.
Look at that.
He did it. He said, I'll rub shoulders with Israelis. I'll have to learn Hebrew. Yeah, okay. So that's when it's good to have chutzpah. Say, this is what I need. This is what it takes. I'm going to do it.
It doesn't work. You have to try something else. It doesn't work. Yiddish and Arabic, very little Hebrew.
Me'at azut v'tire nechochot u'ma nechshav.
The person has to be able to see clearly and say, what do I care what he says about me? What do I care? Why is a person subdue himself because of the way he's going to look at me? Why doesn't he subdue himself from the shame that will be eternal? That's the threat here. I'll remain empty. Person works, but what's he working for if he doesn't know the essence of life? He doesn't know the halacha, he doesn't know how to lead his life. So this is where a person has to have the brazenness. I will learn, and I'm not scared, and even though people will make fun, and okay, what can I do?
Chazakna ben adam. Chazak ulvosh omet. Strengthen yourself, man. Strengthen yourself. Chagor meretz. Girdle yourself with excitement, with enthusiasm. Veveshakud ilmod alacha. Focus yourself and learn alacha. So we're starting the Chazanish this semester with a paragraph that I think is very apropos. It's very easy to be embarrassed to ask a question. It's very easy to tell yourself, this is embarrassing. And it's much more important to tell yourself, I'm avoiding the real embarrassment. I'm ensuring that ultimately I will know. And this is the way to know. And throughout your lives, you will have this challenge. Repeatedly. This year, I was in a class about the laws of Purim. So I raised my hand and I said, I have a simple basic question, I just don't know the answer. Why do we fast on Tanis Esther? Seems like a simple question, but I don't know the answer.
Why? Because all of you're afraid that Haman would kill all the Jews.
Right, but why are we fasting today? We're commemorating that sadness.
Why are we feasting on Tanis?
We don't fast to commemorate the sadness of Egypt. We don't fast to commemorate other decrees. What happened? We fast when we think we will do tshuva out of it, or we fast because there was a destruction which we're commemorating. What destruction was there? There wasn't. There was a salvation, which is why we have Purim. So why are we fasting? Basic question. I'm just saying, I asked the question and I was waiting for someone to say that comment. Like, well, it's obvious. It's because. What? That's another good question. That's a machlokas. According to some Rishonim, the Gemara already alludes to it. And others say that that's not the interpretation of that line in the Talmud. And really it was instituted in the Gaonic period. So I still don't know the answer to it.
We don't know why they instituted
it. There's a response of the Chassam Sofer, but bottom line, I'm not clear on it. But it took guts. I'm saying you ask a basic question. But in my speeches, one of the things I do, this past Shabbos I gave a speech, it was a bar mitzvah, and as part of the speech I told the bar mitzvah boy, I said, I don't know why Cain and Hevel merited that God would speak to them. I don't know, especially Cain. But according to the Medrash, Hevel wasn't doing such great shakes either. So then why does God talk to them? If I do something, does God talk to me? Hasn't happened yet, to the best of my knowledge.
Why was Hevel not so great?
The Midrash discusses that Hevel also was not so great.
Wow, he was hardly surprising.
Yeah,
because I heard that he died on Earth, he lived a short life, but his soul came back in the form of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay, that doesn't mean anything. I'm not saying all Midrashim go this route. But I purposely, twice in the speech, I twice mentioned the Bar Mitzvah boy, things that I don't know. Because I think a part of learning is the ability to say, I don't know.
Right.
So here I am standing in front of the public saying, I don't know. And I know that when I say I don't know in public, within 48 hours I'll get emails from the audience enlightening me as to what I didn't know. Sometimes that's beneficial. You know, not on Shabbos, but within 48 hours... I get emails and they say, oh, Rabbi, you forgot this, and here's a good source, and doesn't Rashi say that? Okay, whatever. It's still important. It's important. It's important, and you if you can say, I don't know, then from that you could learn, and then ultimately you will know. But I'm just saying, throughout your life, it's not easy to say, I don't know. It's not easy to ask questions.
It's better to say, I don't know, than to say something and have it be wrong, you know?
Yeah, that's what it says in Maseches Derech Eretz. Lamed leshoncha lomar eini yodea. Get accustomed to saying, I don't know. Shema titbade v'teaches. Because you might end up saying something that's inaccurate, and they'll catch you on it.
Right.
So better say, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Right. The last year we were in, I don't know, remember about just a couple hours ago, something to the effect of the goal is to be able to say you don't know at a higher level. Because the Torah is infinity. And if you think you know, you're dead. If you think you know it all.
You're fair. So the story goes that in the top yeshiva in Bnei Brak, named Panovich,
There was a rabbi who studied, and he wanted rabbinic ordination. And then Rav Shach said to him, go get tested by this rabbi, and then get tested by that rabbi, and then get tested by that rabbi, and then come to me. So the man gets tested, and when he finishes all his tests, he comes to Rav Shach. Rav Shach takes him down a hall, brings him to a room, and he says, I want you to sit in this room and say 400 times, I don't know. So the rabbi looks at Rav Shach and says, well, I thought you're going to test me. And he said, after those three rabbis tested you, I don't have to ask you any questions. I just have to make sure that after we give you rabbinic ordination, you'll still remember to say, I don't know. So I want you to practice 400 times, sit in this room and say, I don't know. And then I'll sign on to your rabbinic ordination. So it's a challenge throughout life to be able to say, I don't know. There are famous stories of great rabbis who were teaching a class, including, I think, the Netziv, Rav Kook's Rebbe, when they tested him whether he should be Rosh Yeshiva in Volozhin. So if I'm not mistaken, it was him. He was giving his class where all the rabbis were testing him whether to appoint him Rosh Yeshiva. He started giving class, and about a minute into his class, someone asked a question. He stood there and thought, and he said, you know, you have a good point. I don't think I should continue the class. And he sat down. And so everyone thought that that's it. They're not going to appoint them Rosh Yeshiva. And the rabbi said, no, on the contrary. The fact that someone was able to disprove what he said, well, that can happen. But the fact that he had that integrity to step down, even when he's being tested, he didn't try to put the question to the side. He stepped down. He said, maybe it's not right. You know what? The truth is more important. So that's the person who wants Rosh Yeshiva. But there are famous stories of rabbis who sat down in the middle of a speech. They said, you know what? You asked a question that unravels everything I was trying to put together. I have to think about it. I'm not continuing. Because when we're searching for truth, then we have to be able to say, I don't know. Tov.